Yes. Yes, indeed. On the Freedom Fiends. This is Mr. Michael W. Dean. Please say the whole thing. The reason I say the W, it's not to try to sound literary. It's not to try to sound like George Bush. I think it's a pretty cool middle name. And even George Bush couldn't wreck having a middle double initial, W initial. But basically, it's because I'm a published writer. I write books, write tech books, write how-to books. Wrote a libertarian self-help book on how to get creepy people out of your life called A User's Manual for the Human Experience. Written a bunch of books. I make movies. Do stuff. I've worked at home for about 11 years, making my own money, working with cats on my lap, sleeping 3 hours a night lately. And I'm saving the world with software right now. My friend Jeremy came up with Free Speech Me from freespeechme.org. But there are, Michael Dean is a fairly common name. It's so common, you know, they say like if you're one in a million, there's 300 of you in America. Michael Dean is such a common name that there are six published writers. If you search on Amazon and a couple other places, there are six published writers named Michael Dean. So I use my middle initial. I'm Michael W. Dean. So today we have some guest hosts. Today was supposed to be the triumphant return of Mr. Nima Vedati, the daddy, Mr. Nima Vedati. And it takes a lot to fill his shoes. So today we have three people, including Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, is going to be on a little bit in the second hour. And he has been out and down for the count. That's a more triumphant return because Nima's been here on Saturdays. Ben was like, we were going to lose him, man. He was really sick. He was rushed to the hospital with horrible illnesses, and we were very worried about him. And he's back, and he's getting strength, and he's got enough strength to come on for about 10 or 15 minutes in the second hour today. So filling in for Mr. Nima Vedati, we have Mike Makes Right, who y'all know. Say hi to Mike.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
What's going on, guys?
Hey. And we've got the radio debut of Mr. Chandler St. Pierre. How you doing there, Chandler?
I'm great, Michael. How's
Excellent.
It going, everyone?
Yeah, and you know, the Freedom Fiends and my upcoming show, Michael Dean After Dark, are kind of the distance learning libertarian journalism school. You know, a lot of people go to college, pay a lot of money. I wrote a book called $30 Film School. It's like a $30 book that's better than film school. And I run a radio college here, basically. I have friends that they've done a little podcasting, or they've talked to me a lot on the phone and have things to say. And I go, hey, man, I've got a radio and I'm a radio show on 21 stations, and I'm adding a new show at night, and I'm going to have a lot of time to fill, and Nima can't do all that. So, you know, read this 40-page PDF I wrote that's only for my radio people. It's not for the public. And then come do some radio with me, man. And today I did the sink or swim. I called Chandler up, and I was like, Nima's vomiting. Can you take this? He's got the flu, the government flu. And Chandler said, yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Chandler.
Well, 36, single dad. I live up in Maine, and right now it's cold and snowy. We just got about, I don't know, in the past few days, I think we've got about 18 inches. So,
wow.
I love music. I used to do a podcast. It's kind of on hold right now until we get things together. And I love guns, and I love freedom.
Cool, man. Guns and freedom. I like guns and freedom, too. Mike Makes Right likes guns and freedom. Don't you, Mike?
Well, yes, I do.
You can't really say all that because you live in California. You can't admit to liking guns or freedom. Both are illegal in California for all intents
and purposes. I'm surprised they haven't kicked me out of the state yet.
Wouldn't that be great? When people say, if you don't love Mike, get out. I'm like, how? And go where? To some right. other place where there's laws, too, and these stupid laws. So I have, I don't want to talk about tyranny much today, but because that's what all the radio shows do. You know, what do we got to say? I hate Obama. I think he's an evil, evil man. I think, you know, that's what talk radio is. It's 24 hours a day. People talk about how evil Barack Hussein Obama is. And why waste all that time, man? I just did it. I got it out of the way and we can talk about fun stuff.
Yay.
By the way, I didn't like George W. Bush either. I thought he was evil too, man. I thought he was as evil as a president could be. And then I had my foot handed to my mouth when Obama became president, basically.
Just wait till everything is RoboCop out there where there is no actual people policing this whole country, it's going to get a lot worse.
Yeah, it's all going to be
robots. That's what they're driving for.
It is, and it's all going to be robots, and it's all going to be controlled by a controlled internet. And here's the thing is I'm working on this. We've got this software. It's out. It's called Free Speech Me. It allows you to surf and have websites that cannot be taken down with a phone call the way that .coms can. So you will probably never, with people using, with webmasters and users using this free software plugin, you will probably never encounter a site that says, "This domain has been seized by the American Bald Eagle for America by Americans for a free patriotic America of the Patriot Act, America."
That's right, FBI. Come at me, bro.
I ain't saying that. Don't tempt them.
You know what I find
them.
Interesting, though?
Don't tempt them. What?
Is every time you see these acts of censorship and tyranny or whatever, there are always a creative group of people that come forth and offer solutions. A lot of times it takes a while to get adopted, but we always work around it.
Yeah, and this week the solution is Free Speech Me from freespeechme.org. And I spent all day yesterday talking about it. I'm not going to do that today. I want to talk about the show House of Cards and some tyranny in that. And that movie, that show is amazing. It's a Netflix original. With the internet, who needs TV? TV is horrible. We've been complaining about it since it started in the 50s. And, you know, even when there were three channels, then all of a sudden when there was cable and there were like hundreds of channels, we were like, yay. But then we realized it's mostly hundreds of channels of crap with lots of ads. So Netflix is brilliant. They're making stuff with great writers, great producers, great filmmakers, great cinematographers, great editors, great music people, great sound people, great screenwriters, great consultants, good. And here's what they do a lot too, which is really cool. This is a really good way to do stuff. And this is kind of the way of the future. It's like have an ensemble cast with like 40 people in it, really complex plots that are great, and have like one or two stars in it. House of Cards. And it's sort of a redo of a British show that was equally amazing. It was pretty amazing. But this is the first three episodes of this were directed by David Fincher, who did Fight Club. And then they hired someone else to kind of copy his look, which is another good, inexpensive or less expensive way to do it that Hollywood doesn't catch on to yet. Netflix also like dumps a whole season in one night. So as David Fincher said, you know, Thursday night at 6 p.m. is dead. So right. You don't have to do that. And I love that because they're learning from piracy. Like people pirating, you know, they discover a show they like and they go download 8 seasons of it and watch them all at once. And piracy is not immoral. It's basically the market creating something that doesn't exist already. And Netflix is figuring out, okay, if we want people to pay for media, we have to make it really cheap and really great. And we have to do it in ways that have the advantages of piracy. And they've done that, man. It's great. So House of Cards is about a U.S. senator played by Kevin Spacey. His wife is played by Robin Wright Penn. You know, they're both inveterate lefties in their real life. But I can't fault them that much because Robin Wright Penn divorced Sean Penn. So I have to at least – she's got that going for her, man. And that guy is an insane communist. He makes – every Hollywood liberal look like, you know, a Reaganite. Well, Reagan was a Hollywood liberal. What am I saying? He was a Hollywood liberal till John Wayne tapped him and said, "Hey, we would like you to become a Republican." And that's what happened. So, and Reagan passed gun laws and he raised taxes. So he wasn't the great conservative people say he was. But yeah, man, this show is amazing. Have you guys, either of you guys seen it?
I sure have.
But I have not.
Season one on my list. Right? You haven't seen season two, Mike?
I have not seen season two. I'm very excited.
I'm going to explain. I'm going to give a spoiler alert before I give the spoiler, and you can cover yours.
La, 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 la.
Not yet. Not yet. And do it off mic and don't do it that long. But,
okay.
I mean, the weird thing is, like, this show basically makes it look like all government is immoral, aggression, violence, murder all the time behind the scenes and what we see on the news. And the thing is, like, I was like, is this guy who wrote this an anarchist? And I looked him up, and the guy who created the show, no, he's not an anarcho-capitalist. He's not a libertarian. He worked on the staff for Schumer. Maybe it just drove him to, like, this is all
as
immoral.
As in Charles Schumer?
Yes, yes.
The New York
Yes.
Just
say no to all freedoms? Charles.
So he has firsthand experience.
When the when the Schumer hits the fan, as the polite preppers who don't like to cuss say. Yeah. Yeah, he worked for Schumer and he worked for Hillary. So although maybe he just was like, he knows what it's like. So Kevin Spacey basically plays this Democratic congressman who's, you know, cheating, lying, stealing, aggressing, blackmailing, and murdering his way toward the presidency. And it's based on a British show where there's a guy, a member of parliament, doing that towards becoming prime minister. But, I mean, he murders people all the time in it, and some of them are good people. But it doesn't really bug me that much because, first of all, it's fiction. And second of all, it's like they're people who chose to deal with him. They knew kind of what they were getting into. They weren't blinded in this. But there was a scene in one of the episodes from season two. Okay, I'm going to give a spoiler alert now. Give me 45 seconds. Don't go la, la, la really loud, but really cover your ears if you want. Okay, the guinea pig is unharmed. I'll start by saying that. But there's a government goon who has some hacker who's been arrested and they're threatening him with 100 years of prison. And basically, like, if you do our bidding and become our slave, we won't throw you in prison. You know, he goes over to the hacker's house and picks up his pet guinea pig, puts it on the ground, puts his foot on it, and is ready to kill it, like, in front of the guy just to show his power. Like, this is what I could do to you. And he doesn't, but you really think he's gonna. There was probably some focus group. You know, he's probably gonna originally in the original draft, and they decided that people would just turn off and never watch the show again. But it was, like, worse than all the people he murders. Because the guinea pig's innocent, man. The people have some choice in being around this murderous man. So, you know, in 1984, they said, if you want a vision of the future, picture a boot stomping on a human face forever. And I think if you want an accurate picture of the government, picture some bureaucrat stomping on some poor guy's guinea pig. That's pretty much how I picture the government. Okay, you guys can come back now. Are you back?
Yep.
Was that under 45 seconds?
I think so.
Good.
You know, what's interesting about that show is my sister was just telling me that she just started watching it. She said, I really like how gritty it is, and it seems so real. And I said, yeah, it does seem so real. And I said, so if you think that's actually how the sausage gets made, are you okay with that?
I know. That's the thing I'm worried about is, like, the guy still might be a loving Democrat who's just like, hey, man, this is what it takes. And at least he's on our side, not the other guy's side. You know,
the ends justify the means.
We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. Worms.
Worms. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. Oops, sorry about that. So, yeah, this is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. Mr. Nima Vedati is out with the government flu. I think they gave it to Ben Stone, too, because, you know, it's kind of interesting what I noticed about Ben Stone. He got really sick. You know, I think there's things that Liberty people do that we think are going to get us droned, but they don't care. They don't care if you sit on the radio and yell at people. They really don't. Everyone's doing it. What they care about is if you do something you shouldn't do. And I think what Ben did that he shouldn't have done that made them give him the government flu, if they did, was he came on this show and talked about Flight 800. Now, a lot of people go on the radio and talk about conspiracy theories about Flight 800. However, most people that come on the radio and talk about it and call in about it were not in the room working with the NTSB at desks all around him and watching their shocked reaction when the official FBI report came out when the official NTSB report came out and the NTSB guy said, wait, that's not what happened. And Ben was sitting there watching his colleagues do that. He wasn't in the NTSB. They were working in a company that Ben worked for. They were consultants in a company that makes jet engines and helps inspect crashes and has more data on how jet engines perform and fail than any other entity in the world. And Ben also said that Ben's a straight up non-government guy, but Ben said the NTSB, in his experience, are the only good part of the government. They're the only part of the government that like consistently do their job and only help people, you know, like really, like there's no evil agenda in them. They try to figure out why planes crash and try to make them not crash as often. That is their job. And they are brilliant scientists and engineers. And Ben is a brilliant scientist and engineer, and he worked with them.
Well, and they have science as their background. Yeah. So it's more truth driven.
Yeah. Whereas most people who work for the government and, you know, crush smart people's pets for a living because they're too stupid to do anything creative, or shoot dogs, you know, like cops like to do, or, you know, shoot military veterans, decorated military veterans in their home when they kick in the door in the wrong house in Arizona. And, you know, the guy thinks it's a home invasion by a gang. And well, it is, but he grabs his sidearm and or his rifle and they murder him. They murder him in front of his wife. They don't let he's dying for a little while. They don't let the ambulance get to him. They, you know, make fun of his wife while her beloved dies on the floor after they murder him. They get away with it. They get paid vacation and then they come back. That's the government, man. But the NTSB are good, Ben says. And he called in a few months ago and told, you know, I was talking about this movie I saw about Flight 800. And Ben called in and said his inside information, which, about a week later, Ben got really sick, man, and was like, could have died and went to the hospital. It could be a coincidence. It's probably a coincidence. I want to think it's a coincidence, but I don't know what Nima did. I think Nima and I are so good together that they just didn't want him to come back. So he's got the government flu. And
well, he also spawned. They don't want more of us.
I was going to say that too, man. I know. He did spawn. And I think what I'm doing with this Free Speech Me software program, I think I could be on the radio 7 days a week, many hours a day, just saying horrible, true things about the government. Like, yeah, cops these days, you know, there may be some good cops, but if they're good cops, why aren't they out arresting the cops that like to murder people in their home and shoot their pets, shoot their cats when their cats bark at them or mew at them? Why aren't the good cops arresting those guys? I'll believe there's good cops when they go arrest the bad cops. They really should. I would celebrate the cops if they did that.
The system doesn't allow for that anymore. I mean, I have a friend who's a police officer. Never did.
Thin blue line, man.
Well, there's a difference between law enforcement and peace officers, and peace officers are gone.
There's still a few, and they're in Wyoming. They're going to retire in a few years, though, and they will be replaced by 24-year-old testosterone-filled, steroid-eating dudes who just got back from Fallujah. Yeah, that's who they hire now. Yeah. But I could say stuff like that all day long, and it will never get me in any trouble. But I think that this little software program that I didn't even invent, called Free Speech Me from freespeechme.org, I think is going to make the government hate me and want to crush my pets. And I woke up having a dream after seeing this threatened pet crushing by a government official in this TV show. He didn't crush the pet. The pet's okay. I'm going to warn everyone. Pet's okay. At least through the episodes I've watched. I've got five left. And I don't think that character is going to be back because they've used him up in the story, basically. So we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends and getting away from the government tyranny and talking about solutions and good stuff and the show House of Cards with Chandler St. Pierre and Mike Makes Right after this trip to the market. Worms. Say worms. Worms. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah! My cat's looking at me, man. My cat's looking at me like, what are you doing, man? Are you okay? Are you okay, daddy you no cat? You ain't no cat. You sound like a very large cat in pain because the government's stepping on it. Yeah. So House of Cards, man. Why don't you guys talk amongst yourselves about House of Cards here on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. Well, Chandler hasn't seen it.
He hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic show. I really hope, and this is just hope, but I really hope people watch this show and go, gosh, politics is just disgusting.
Yeah.
It makes me sick. And if there's any, even if there's only 10% truth in this show, I never want to have anything to do with politics ever again.
Yeah. Although, unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to be like your sister of like, well, you don't want to see how the sausage get made, but it's a good product. And I'm like, no, it's not. Sausage is okay as a product, but it'll kill you if you eat a lot of it. And government is not even as good as a sausage.
That's what do they say? Garbage in, garbage out. I mean, that's all government is.
You know
Look
what?
At the type
you know
what of that, people that work in government.
You know where that phrase is from?
No.
It's a computer science phrase from the 60s, from like mainframe computer operators. And they had another one. It's not – I'll make it radio friendly. It's to err is human. To really foul things up takes a computer. Which is, I remember hearing that when I was like 10, and I was like, that sounds like computers are horrible. I should never want to touch one. But what it was written by computer scientists. Basically, what it was saying was, you know, if you want to amplify a problem, you know, garbage in, garbage out to the max is what that's saying. And basically, I had that happen today. I was like making some memes for Free Speech Me and freespeechme.org and the thing that's going to save the world and run the internet in a few years. I was making a threat level meter. So if you want to see it, go to freespeechme.org and look at the second post down. The first post is stickied. It's always the top post. It's the FAQ. So go below that to the second one, and it's the Free Speech Me threat meter with the different color levels of threats, which, you know, the DHS spent millions of dollars in 11 months making that. And basically all it does is takes a useful thing that already existed, the Cooper color code, and like wrecks it and applies it to people who aren't in a self-defense situation. It turns it into a thing to just terrify the American people about terrorism all the time. Stan Smith, the CIA deputy director on American Dad, has one on his fridge. I love that.
Yeah, the little triangle.
Yeah. Yeah. Colors mean nothing's me. What's that?
No, they mean nothing to me. I mean, it's interesting. Like when you see yellow, what does that mean to you? Why not use just numbers? At least that represents something. Colors mean I don't know what yellow means. Well, I mean, only the government could have come up with something.
Yeah,
so
it's basically
ridiculous.
Dumbing it down so illiterates and babies can have some comprehension of it. You know, I mean,
well,
why
colors are supposed to evoke more of an emotional response?
There you go.
To.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yep. And they want you frightened all the time. You know, that's another thing in House of Cards, and this isn't really a deal breaker because, well, I mean, a deal breaker. What's it called?
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, because I've already mentioned that there's something about a computer hacker, a cracker, actually. You know, the terminology has been usurped over the year by the media and made wrong. Hacker literally originally meant, and two smart computer people still means, it doesn't mean someone who goes and does evil things with computers. A hacker means someone who's a programmer who's talented, who can do things and do them in a clever and brilliant and useful way. That's a hacker. A cracker is a hacker who uses his skills for evil. And a cracker doesn't even have to be a good hacker. I mean, there's things called script kiddies, which are usually teenagers that use computer scripting programs to, like, automate virus, you know, automate attacks on systems. Like, you don't even have to know any code to be a script kiddie. But to be a real hacker, you know, like the guys who invented Linux are hackers. My friend Jeremy, who invented Free Speech Me, he's a hacker in the true sense of the word, not in the evil sense. But in this show, there's a guy who's a hacker who also, I think he's kind of based on Aaron Schwartz, because he's basically, he's Aaron Schwartz if Aaron Schwartz had cut a deal instead of either been murdered or hung himself, which is being murdered by the government, because they were saying he's going to get 50 years in prison. This guy is like Aaron Schwartz or Barrett Brown. If, you know, Barrett Brown's in prison, Aaron Schwartz is dead, this guy was facing what those guys were facing and instead, like, said, okay, I'll come work for you and be the government cracker and do your bidding. And, you know, instead of 50 years in prison, I'll have 50 years in this nice apartment with all these computer screens and my pet guinea pig, and I'll get to go out to bars and drink and then come back here. And then for the next 50 years, you'll come over every couple weeks and demand that I do some evil, you know. That's his prison.
Yeah.
But there's a scene in there where they go into a computer data center, like an NSA kind of data center. And it's just mind boggling. Like, I just drooled. I was like, man, I want that room. I mean, it was like a football field size room of, like, servers, you know, in a climate controlled, beautiful room, like chrome everything. Like, man, this is what unlimited stolen money and devaluing the dollar can buy. And it's like, that room is probably one of 10 rooms in that facility. They exist, and it's probably, like, you know, one of 1,000 facilities like that in America, and, like, you know, they probably got another 1,000 around the world. So, but it was mind-blowing to me. Like, basically, this guy was arrested and was facing 50 years for doing a tiny bit of, like, spying on the government, on this government that spies on everyone all the time. It's like, the government can spy on you. They can crush your pets. They can shoot your husband and not let an ambulance get him to him and let him bleed to death. But if you try to even do something out of curiosity in one of their computers, you know, they'll nail you to the wall, man. They'll put you in federal, whatever, me in the what prison, you know, they'll threaten you with that. They'll kill you. They'll kill your children. They'll take your children. They'll brainwash your children, do horrible things, man. And we're not about that. We're about love. We're about peace. We're about non-aggression. Talk a little about peace and non-aggression here, guys.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to a few people and they can't understand why I carry a gun, you know? And they're like, well, you're kind of a hippie guy. Why would you want a gun? And I was like, well, you know, I believe in self-defense and I believe in self-ownership. I dread the day that I would ever have to raise my gun on anyone. But if that moment came, I wouldn't hesitate. But other than that, you know, I would never aggress upon anyone. I'm more of the attitude of live and let live. And I think if more people took that approach instead of, well, you know what we need to do.
Which means you know what you're going to do. Or you'll get a government, or the government will kill your dog and your guinea pig and your children and you and your husband.
And I mean, just think about the diversity that would spring up if we all just live and let live. Think about the innovation. And I just don't understand why people don't see that. You know, you were talking about how the government can spy on us all the time, and it's okay. But if somebody else does it back to them, they get thrown in prison. Well, that's because they have that title of the government, that myth of authority. And I just don't see, even if you take a minarchist standpoint for a minute, you know, we delegate rights to the government. How can we give rights that we don't possess to a fictional entity?
Yeah. Explain that a little bit more. Expand on that, as Larry King would say.
Okay. Well, what I like to point out when I talk to people who are new to this is, if they're, especially if they're of the minarchist bent, how can the government claim the authority to tax us if we grant them rights? Can I go to you, Michael, and say, you know what? You owe me $100 for, you know, having this property.
No, I would say, get out of my house, man. And if you didn't, I would scream it. And if you really didn't, I would pull out my sidearm, point it at the floor, and scream it again. And, you know, take escalating steps based on what kind of aggression you continued to present against me. But you can't even talk about that as a government, how you deal with the government. They'll kill you for even suggesting that. But then they'll kill you for suggesting that. And I'm not suggesting that because we have peaceful solutions. But they'll kill you for suggesting that. But then they also make a big government-funded to-do with brass bands in the streets and the president on TV to celebrate things like anniversaries of days hundreds of years ago in America where people did exactly that, got violent at the tax collectors.
Yeah, but people have short memories and they don't really understand. So, you know, I would say to that person, if I don't have the right to do that to you, how can I give that right to this entity? They have no more right. And then they'll start in with the whole, well, who will build the roads and maintain the schools? And that opens up a much larger conversation.
Yeah.
But it boggles my mind. You know, people think that government and police are this benevolent entity and they should have the rights and privileges to do things that normal people couldn't. I mean, I went to my daughter's softball tryout a few years ago and I was carrying my sidearm openly. And there was an older gentleman, and you know, Maine is not really a liberal state. There are certain bastions of it, but you know, kind of old timey. And this older gentleman looked at me, he's like, well, what the heck are you carrying a gun for? And I kind of just went into my basic spiel. And he looked at me and he says, I don't think anyone but the police should carry guns.
Oh gosh.
Really?
Wow.
It boggles my mind that people could even think like
that. I used to think like that, but I was a child. And basically my thought when I was a kid was, I don't like, you know, the first thing that I believed that I still strongly believe now is I was anti-war. Like, yes. I'm going to be 50 in May, and I remember seeing the Vietnam War on TV when I was a kid, and just my eyes just watering, going, this is horrible. And we had this exchange student named Magda from Belgium living with us, and my sister was living in South Africa for a month or a year through Rotary International, and we got two people. We got, yes, a German guy named Adolf, and we got a woman, he was like 16, and we got him for 6 months, and then for 6 months we got this Belgian woman named Magda. And I remember in kindergarten, I was so freaked out about war that one day I was like, I'm not going to school. I'm not going to kindergarten today because if I go to school, I'll have to grow up. And if I grow up, I'll have to go be a soldier and fight. I don't want to do that. And Magda, who I really respected, I liked her a lot. I dug her. She was really cool. She talked me into going to school that day by telling me about her two brothers who were in the army and how brave they were and how beautiful they handsome they looked in their uniforms and how much their family and friends and community and nation loved them. And I was like, I was five, but I was like, I know you're lying. I know this is wrong. This is BS. I know this isn't a real thing you're saying. I mean, she believed in it, but I knew there was something wrong with it. But I went to school that day anyway because I liked her. But I was anti-war then. I'm anti-war now. And there are at least four loaded guns in my room right now. So we'll be back with more about being anti-war and pro-gun when we get back on the Freedom Fiends. All right, worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Free Speech Me is a free software plugin for Firefox that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. You can register a .bit domain today using the inexpensive cryptocurrency Namecoin. .bit domains are extremely resistant to being shut down or hijacked by governments, corporations, or criminals. .bit domains are the decentralized alternative to building your whole web presence on a .com or other top-level domain that can be shut down at any time for any reason by any government without due process. We've already created a working beta of the Free Speech Me Firefox plugin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to effortlessly get to your site using your .bit address and our Free Speech Me plugin. Free Speech Me is a game-changing, world-advancing leap for freedom. Free Speech Me is open source, and best of all, it's free. Go right now to freespeechme.org. That's freespeechme.org.
Uh-huh. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends. My voice a little rough there. I only slept about 3 hours last night, so I've been up working on Free Speech Me from freespeechme.org. And we were talking about liberty, and we're talking about how we are anti-war and pro-gun. And that sounds bizarre to people. That sounds bizarre to people who hate guns, and that sounds bizarre to some people that carry a gun every day. They're like, I fought in the war. I fought for my country's freedom. You know what? This will get me kicked off radio, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here. And my kid is in the Army. I know people in the service. I have respect for them as people. If you fought for my freedom, you didn't do a very good job, because they are taking it away. And I'm not saying that to irk vets. I have a lot of respect for a lot of vets. I love a lot of people who are vets. I love a lot of people who are in active service. I love a lot of people who are families of people in the service. But you know what? That line is going to get us all killed. The line of, you have to respect the troops, you have to respect the office of the president. All of that is going to get us killed. Because right now, if the military is fighting for our freedom right now in Fort, I forget which fort it is, but one of the forts, they're working with the NSA. They have members of the U.S. military sitting down at computers spying on Americans. That is not fighting for my freedom, man. Not in any way. What do you guys think?
I support the troops. And what I mean by that is I want them to come back home.
Yeah, man.
And not have to work for the U.S. government. That's the support that I offer them.
Yeah.
And you know, people like you, Michael, you're, you know, doing free speech, me.org.
Yeah.
That's going to create jobs. People don't see it yet. And maybe we can get some of these ex-military people to work in the private sector.
Yeah, man.
Come join us in the free market.
Yeah, if you're trained as a soldier, we'll hire you to come to come patrol. You know, because I think people should be able to carry guns in the workplace, but a lot of people don't want to. But a lot of people would be comfortable seeing some guard in some kind of guard uniform with a gun. They're like, yeah, I feel safer. Because we're doing dangerous world-changing work here, and people want to kill us for it. So when this is a company, I would love to hire some ex-military people to come be our private guards. I would love to hire some ex-military computer people to come work on things. And, you know, hey, Snowden worked for the military, man. He is my hero. That guy's fighting for my freedom, you know. Julian Assange is fighting for my freedom. And when the NSA says that Julian Assange should be tried under treason because he gave away secrets to the enemy, he basically was giving away secrets to the American people, or Snowden was too. And it's like, they want to charge Snowden for that. He's an American. You know, so the NSA thinks the American people are the enemy if they want to charge Snowden for treason.
That's definitely the implication.
That's what Ron Paul said. I believe it.
Yeah.
Ron Paul's the only politician. I don't like politics. I don't like politicians. I don't like having to choose the lesser of two evils. I don't like having to choose a ruler. I don't want a ruler. I don't need to be ruled. I'm a nice guy. I'm polite. Yeah, but I like Ron Paul more than most politicians, man, because that guy's the only guy that actually played by the rules. You know, he was the guy who was adamantly anti going into war at Iraq, but he raised his hand and he put forth a proposition that they declare war, and he was going to do it. And if it passed, he was going to vote against it. But he's like, it's in the Constitution. You have to declare war. We haven't declared war. The U.S. hasn't. I don't like saying we, because I don't have any say in these decisions, man. It's not me. It's some guys in D.C., and I hate every last one of them. And I don't want them to die. I want them to quit their jobs and go spend time lovingly with their families and go on vacations on their own money. And, you know, like Ron Paul's doing. Ron Paul tweeted a picture of his grandchildren, his 8 and 10-year-old grandson or great-grandson, with a bunch of potatoes they picked. And it got like four times as many shares on the internet as Obama saying, well, I think we really do have to go into Syria and do some protection here by bombing people. So you can have Obama's bombs, or you can have Ron Paul's great-grandson's potatoes. I'll pick the potatoes, man. I want politicians to do what Ron Paul's doing. Retire, do an internet TV show, radio show, do some real radio. Hang out with their family, man. And we'll be back after this trip to the market with a very special treat. It is the triumphant, very part-time return check-in from Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, who has been to the edge of the abyss and started to fall in and got pulled out by his loving wife and some doctors and his friends and his fans. Say worms, guys.
Worms.
Worms. Worms. The song is called My Gun Keeps You Honest. I wrote it. It's got lyrics, but I took the lyrics out for this cut of it.
Sounds like Ministry.
It's supposed to. Yeah, it's actually the guy from The Landlords and Mr. The Happy Flowers playing guitar. Remember The Happy Flowers?
This is Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah, including in Sturgis. Yeah, including in Sturgis. So, yeah, we're on the radio in Sturgis in South Dakota, North Dakota. Where is it? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Isn't that where that big bike rally motorcycle rally is?
Yeah. And we got a friend of ours who's a motorcycle enthusiast sent a little blurb here. You want to read it, Mike? Go ahead and read it. I pitched it to you.
I see it right now. He said, I'm in the early stage of planning a ride for riders from all over the state to the state capitol on July 4th, 2014. I'm urging all riders to ride from their towns to Lincoln without their helmets. I'm contacting every club, organization, TV, and radio station, newspaper, and bike shop in the state. Here it is. If you're interested or have questions, contact me at dogsletter54@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And we don't advocate breaking any laws because laws are here for your protection. And, you know, if you get in an accident without a motorcycle helmet, the whole society has to suffer. So we have to have laws because we're a little more progressive. No, man, this guy's a good guy. I like him. Yeah, write him. Read his email address again, Mike. I don't think they have a website that I know of. So what's the email address again?
Dogsletter54@yahoo.com.
All right. Yep. There you go. Some Wyoming bike enthusiast. I think it's Wyoming. I mean, that's the thing about people are used to the non-global nature of things. Like, you know, he sent me this. He's like, yeah, we're riding across the state to Lincoln. Okay, Lincoln's in Nebraska. I know where that is. I'm assuming he's in this state. I've talked to him a lot, but maybe not. I hate it when local newspapers have articles that are going to go viral and they don't even say the town, but they don't say the state. You know, you have to go look at the masthead to find out where this global important news comes. But speaking of globally important news, was supposed to be the triumphant return of Mr. Nima Vidati coming back on Sundays, but he got sick with government flu because he bred and the government's punishing him, so they infected him. No, I'm kidding. He's just sick. But Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, are you there? Are you there, Ben?
I'm here, Michael.
Ben! Well, there he is. Yeah, turn him up a little,
good
Brad.
To hear you, Ben.
He doesn't have a lot of voice power yet. Turn him up. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing really well, and it's great to be on the radio with Mike Makes Right and my good buddy Chandler. Chandler, great to talk to you again.
It's like the men's support group. We all get together and talk about
sausage fest.
It's a support group. It's like the Fight Club, and then we hug each other and cry afterwards. Like we have the Fight Club, we beat each other up, and then we talk about how the government hurt us, and then we pass around the doll, and we all say, "Show us on the doll where the government touched you." And then you say that you're very brave, my brother. Thank you for sharing that. And we cry and we hug because the government touched us in places they shouldn't. So, Ben, where did the government touch you? Show us on the doll. Show me where the senator touched you on the doll, Billy. Benny.
I have no proof. And so I can't, unlike some radio personalities, I can't just blatantly make accusations about things that I only have suspicions of. But it is highly suspicious that I have spent a lot of time talking about things like, you know, whether Michael Hastings was murdered or whether that was an accident or whether, you know, Andrew Breitbart was murdered or whether that was just a random event. I've talked about all those things and nothing happens. And then I bring up, you brought it up, but I commented on my experiences in watching the engineers after the verdict on Flight 800. And immediately I've got a virus that's one of only like a handful of viruses that are known to directly attack the heart. And nobody else around me has that virus. Nobody, you know, it's not like my didn't go through my family or wasn't like, you know, it is very odd. I can't say anything as an absolute positive. This, you know, A led to B led to C. But it is rather odd that of all the things that I've talked about, you know, that incident, and immediately I'm sitting on the verge of complete, you know, my heart was ready to stop working when they slammed me into the emergency room and drained eight pounds of liquid from my chest cavity and around my heart.
Man, that's, and I got to say it again, man. I told you to go to the hospital a month before you did. So did your wife. We told you so, man. Everyone should do everything Michael Dean says to do all the time. Is Ben laughing or is Ben upset? I can't tell.
No, it's true.
I posted that as a comment when you're still in the hospital on your blog, and it never showed up. I don't know if one of the admins thought that was in bad taste or was too worried about you or didn't want you to see it, but I can tell you now. I'm glad someone didn't show it when you were in the hospital, but now that you're out and you're getting back to, you know, you're back in the men's sewing circle and where we cry and show each other on the doll where the state hurt us, but pretty soon you'll be back for the Fight Club evenings too, man. It'll be good.
Ego can kill a person, and that's a good example, because I thought, you know, I'm a big, strong guy. I have, you know, powerful lungs. I'd never smoked.
You've been shot.
Really healthy. You've been shot a couple times. You've been
shot, and you've had a guy point a shotgun at you, ready to shoot you. You grabbed it out of his hand and beat him onto the ground with it and kept it as a souvenir. That's pretty tough, man. That's like something from a movie, and you really did it.
Yeah, and I had you mentioned one time that I kind of lived that scene from what's it called? Where the two guys, where the guy jumps out at the other two guys,
Kato, and unloads Kato his pistol. And oh, I thought you were talking about the Pink Panther.
Oh no,
you're talking about Pulp Fiction.
Oh, Pulp Fiction. Yeah, Pulp where he Fiction. Says it's an actor. Yeah. Someone shot at you with a revolver, five or six shots from a little further than that, like 20, you know, 10 yards, not 4 feet, but they all missed. Everyone missed you.
Yeah, and you kind of, well, at least with me, I kind of got this invincible thought, like, nothing, none of this stuff has killed me yet. How could I possibly die from just catching a cold? You know, a little bit of pneumonia, hey, that's nothing. I can get past this. But, you know, my advice is listen to Michael Dean. Go to the hospital. Listen to your wife. My wife really insisted, and then that morning when she actually took me, it was like we got up, she took one look at me and said, all right, you ready to go now? And if I hadn't said yes, she probably would have had to call, you know, an ambulance to come and get me, because I probably would have been dead in a couple hours.
Yeah. I'm typing. I'm getting – how American is this? People who are like, America, speak English first. I'm chatting with a guy in Spain who's Spanish and a woman in America who's Chinese from China – about doing translations for this freespeechme.org video that's on YouTube, trying to get people to do translations. And we do need, here's the thing. Let me interrupt Ben's triumphant return for what I've been working on, because it's really important. And Ben is behind this, right? Ben, you believe in this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we need translations in, we have the text translation in Farsi, which is Iranian, which is probably going to get me droned even for emailing someone in Iran. But we have two fans there who listen. And, you know, people are just people. You can't blame people for the governments, which is why dropping the atomic bomb on Japan was absolutely evil. And they lie when they say it cut 5 years off the war. That's complete BS. And Ben has done like 8 hours on that and why that's the fact. You know, guys in Iran don't like Ahmadinejad or the guy that took his place any more than you do sitting here in America. They don't like that guy. That guy's a tyrant and they know it. And they're willing to help to try to get some freedom in through the back doors, through the internets with freespeechme.org. And, you know, so I'm talking to a guy in Iran. I've got a guy translated it, and I got a guy to read the text and record it. I have the German and I got a guy to record it. I have the Japanese and nobody to record it. And I've got, what is the other language, man? I've got 4 languages so far. German, I've got, yeah, the Spanish, and I'm working with someone. So I need someone who can speak fluent Japanese and record themselves. And I'm also working on, let's see, Danish. I'm going to have the text in a day or two, but I don't know if the lady has a mic to record it. So if anyone's a native speaker of Danish, we need someone to record that. Let's see, what else do we need? Russian. I don't even know if we have a translator yet. We got a couple people who said maybe they're doing it. We got someone, let's see. So we need Portuguese. We need the text and translation. We need the text translation and the speaking recording, maybe just the recording. Arabic, we're going to have the text in a day. We need someone who can record it. Czech, we have someone doing both. So, and then what we don't have translations for that we need is Italian, which is really common. Someone out there has got to be able to translate 3 minutes of text into Italian. Ukrainian, Russian, and Korean. And those are like countries. We're not, you know, people would be like, man, why are you helping those people in those horrible countries where they're tyrants? Because there's people in those countries who aren't tyrants. And those are the countries like the you know, Iran, Korea, like North Korea. North Korea, they don't even have the internet, but you know, someone might smuggle something across. I don't know, but we're trying to get everybody in the world to adopt this thing because it's how the internet's going to be run in 2 years. And my friend Jeremy has come up with Free Speech Me, which works on the back of Namecoin, which was come up with by the Namecoin team, which is a spinoff on Bitcoin. And it allows you to register domain names that are not controlled by a central scrutinizer. So you're never going to get that thing that says, this has been seized by the great America, bald eagle, the government of the Americas, of the Americas, of the Americas, and the Patriots. You know what they call it? I call the Patriot Act. I call it the jail all the Patriot Acts. And when I was pretty crass in the first hour to say, if you fought for my freedom, you didn't do a very good job. Because, you know, any individual soldier or veteran, it's not their fault. But collectively, everyone who voted and said you got to vote for the less of two evils, everyone who backed the Patriot Act or backed anyone who backed the Patriot Act, the Patriot Act hasn't stopped one terrorist, but it's put a lot of good Americans in jail and under suspicion. And they're spying on everybody, man. Nixon, who was an awful man, got impeached or was threatening, you know, he quit before he got impeached over spying on like five people in one office, man. Obama is spying on every human being on the planet and especially every American, and nobody cares, man. So anybody who fought for, died for my freedom, you didn't do a very good job because it's being taken away and eroded daily. And God bless the vets, man. Have them come work for me when I'm rich and running the internet in about 2 years. What do you got to say to that, Ben? Ben?
Hey, and just to bounce back to one of your earlier rants that you guys were talking about.
Rants, yeah. You're kind of distorted. Can you lean back from the mic a little bit and adjust it or something? We didn't have time for a sound check.
How about that? Is that any better?
That's a lot better. Two. Brad, can you work with that a little more? All right. Yeah. So go on, Ben.
Okay, yeah. So anyway,
Brad's in our fight club. So our board op, he's in our fight club too. This is a 4 or 5-way fight club hugathon. Ben, show me on the doll where the government touched you.
In the earlier hour that you were talking about, you mentioned that you had some guns with you. And that caused me to think about, you know, my wife and I are sort of traveling the country in our RV and going from campground to campground. And one of the aspects of the RV culture is the high quantity of them that conceal carry not necessarily all of them have permission. It's very much within that culture.
So it's a bunch of like senile delinquents. No, it's a bunch of retired people who don't obey stupid laws. I like that, man. It's the self-owner grannies and grandpas. That's cool, man. We'll be back. Stick around, Ben.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
We're back. The thing you have to understand out there in Radioland is that, like, the party never ends here. We just keep talking during the show, during the breaks. And we talked to Brad, the board op. I decided today, and Brad said he's okay with this, if there's ever a time I can't get a co-host on short notice for some reason, Brad's going to be my co-host. I'll just talk to Brad, man. Because Brad chimes in sometimes, too, but it doesn't always go out on radio. So it's kind of like the voice of God in my right ear. I can hear him. Like when I'm like, yeah, you know, that guy that everyone thinks invented libertarianism, but he wanted to bomb Vietnam. What was his name? He wanted to use the atomic bomb. Oh, yeah, Goldwater. Brad's like, Barry Goldwater. Michael, it's Barry Goldwater. And then I sound smart because the audience doesn't hear it. I'm just like, yeah, you know, Goldwater. Like, I should know that. That guy, okay, he's best known for his, I mean, he was okay. He didn't think homosexuals should be stoned, which is pretty hip for a Republican. He didn't think that people who were stoned should be thrown in prison. That's pretty hip for a Republican. And, you know, he was a little more in favor of small government than most people. But, you know, the thing that he's best known for is that quote, something like, oh, what is it? Who got it? Something about virtue and come on, guys. You know the quote. It's something like extremism in defense of virtue is no vice. And then the opposite of not defending it is no something. You know, it's basically saying, like, I'm not extreme. I'm defending liberty. And it's a very kind of like almost anarchist, you know, who was the guy? Sam Adams.
Carl Hess.
Yeah, Carl Hess wrote that line, who's an abject, straight up anarcho-capitalist who was a scriptwriter for you know, Goldwater didn't build that. Carl Hess did. So we did a whole show one time on the anarchist roots of the modern Republican Party, of the Tea Party. And really it goes back to, you know, some of the founding fathers were horrible, like Hamilton, but some of them were good, like, you know, Sam Adams, who really wanted pretty much no government. And there is a theory, you know, they teach in school that the first shot, the Revolutionary War was from the Brits, that they aggressed and the Americans defended themselves. But there's a theory too out there that Sam Adams actually took the first shot as a sniper shot from a nearby boarding house second floor window. And I'm not saying that's good, but that's just interesting. That's just the kind of like feistiness they had back then. So Ben,
he wanted to get the ball rolling.
Ben, yeah. Ben, how are you? Talk, Ben.
Doing good.
Yeah. You feeling healthier?
I am, yeah. And I'm getting out walking every day and, you know, really getting my strength back up.
Do you have a long road back or a short road back, or don't you know?
I see the cardiologist on this coming Friday, and he's probably going to do some testing, and we'll establish at that time whether we're on the right path or whether we have to go towards a surgery type situation. But I feel like you know, I'm doing really well, I think, with the medications that we're on, that they have me on, and with the, you know, my wife and I are constantly checking my blood pressure and all the other stuff. And I really think I'm doing pretty good. Plus my diet, you know, I'm eating really healthy food. My weight is down. So I'm feeling like I'm coming into a fighting weight here.
Well, we'll just have you at the men's hug groups, not the, you know, the where, show me on the doll where the senator touched you, Billy groups. And we'll, you can sit and watch at the Fight Club nights if you want to come to those for a while. And then, and you can go shooting with us, of course. We'd love it. I'm not going to let you start fighting yet in my Fight Club. You can go start your own if you want to have the just recovering from heart failure Fight Club. You know, Mike, what do you got? You haven't said anything in a while.
Oh, well, we wanted to hear what was up with Ben. This is important stuff.
I know. So I'm just trying to save his breath for him because, you know, I mean, I guess I'm making non-voluntary decisions for him because I'm like, I'm not going to have him talk for an hour straight. I'll have him on for an hour, but I want Ben to be able to rest because Ben didn't listen to me before when I said go to the hospital and he nearly died. So if I want to like let Ben not talk for a minute and ask other people to talk about Ben, let's go around the room. Let's go around the room and share our feelings about Ben and talk about, it's an intervention of love. Why don't you, Mike, talk about how Ben has influenced your life, and then we'll ask Chandler, and then we'll go back to Ben after the break.
Well, I look at Ben as sort of the Zen master of libertarianism. I often get really feisty and angry, especially reading Facebook and listening to some of Ben's podcasts. I have this calming effect. It has this calming effect over me that pretty much nobody else in the liberty community has this power. And I am eternally grateful for
Ben's
that.
Ben's medicine. I think that future generations will listen to recordings of Ben long after all five of us are dust from old age. I think that future, and I'm not being specious, man. I think people will listen to Ben like they listen to, you know, Martin Luther King or John F. Kennedy now, or Ronald Reagan speeches. We'll be back with more after this trip to the free market on the Liberty Men's Roundtable. All right.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
We're back on the Freedom Fiends, and I was just confirming with Ben that he was healthy enough to do another half hour. And he said, yeah. So I just got this email. I just got this email from, it was an auto like email to everybody who's on Kickstarter. Wait, I'm not on Kickstarter. I forgot. We're on Indiegogo. If you want to go donate to us on Indiegogo, that'd be good. Cause the more money we get, the more we can save the world. And if you donate over a certain amount, you get a t-shirt that says free speech. Mean it says, I saved the internet and all I got was this t-shirt, but I just got I'm so tired. I got an email from Kickstarter and thought I was getting confused in Indiegogo. But Indiegogo rules and Kickstarter doesn't, because on Indiegogo, we're trying to raise $50,000. And so far we've raised, $1,706 on Indiegogo and then a few hundred of cryptocurrency too. But on Indiegogo, we'll get most of that. Even if we didn't get another cent in the next 30 days, it's another 30 days of a 40-day campaign. I think we'll come close to it though. But even if we didn't make another cent, we'll still get most of that. But on Kickstarter, Ben Swan tried to raise like $1.2 million and he raised 3/4 of it and didn't see a cent, man. That's how Kickstarter works.
Kickstarter just got hacked too. Did you see that?
Yeah, I just got that email. And see, I got the email and just started reading and it said, Kickstarter, on Wednesday night, law enforcement officers contacted Kickstarter and alerted us that hackers had sought, should be crackers. Crackers have sought and gained unauthorized access to some of our customers' data. Upon learning this, we immediately closed the security breach and began strengthening ours, blah, 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 blah. No credit card data was blah, blah, blah. Okay, typical, like, you know, either legally required or they're just being good guys and doing what you should do when that happens to let people know. But first of all, I signed up for Kickstarter, but we're not using Kickstarter because I read up and found out. I originally didn't want to go to Indiegogo because they kicked Cody Wilson off in the middle of his, or early on in his printable gun campaign. And he had to go to, so he just did it with, Bitcoin, but now he's back on there because he's doing an internet thing. It's a dark wallet, which is important, but, free speech is more important and people should go support it. I'm not saying Cody Wilson's bad, but I'm saying like dark wallets are important. Dark wallets more important than the printable gun, but free speech means more important than the printable gun. And I'm not bashing Cody. I was the first person to interview him. I found him and said, you should do interviews. And he's like, I don't want to. I'm like, dude, you got something great. You should do interviews. Do an interview. And he's like, okay. And he hates when I tell this story. I know. And I should be gracious and stop telling it. But it's true. And it's kind of funny. It's like I taught him how to do interviews. I told him he should do interviews. And boy, did I create a monster, man. I'm not going to say I built that. But I gave him his first tips. I interviewed him. And, you know, 2 months later, he was on the Alex Jones show. And people are like, yeah, Alex Jones discovered this really cool guy named Cody Wilson. Check him out. No, I built that. I didn't build that, but I was the first person to interview Cody. And I, more than that, I really, I told him the importance of being out in the media, and I gave him a lot of tips on being on the media. I created a monster, man. Like 4 months later, that guy was on the front page of the New York Times. And like 6 months later, Congress was passing bills against him that might as well have been called the Cody Wilson bill. So the printable gun is important as political theater, and Cody Wilson has called it political theater. But nobody's going to carry one of those things as a sidearm. I mean, they look like a milk bottle. They're not concealable. They're giant. And moreover, anybody in the world can build a better one-shot gun in their garage far cheaper, far easier, using, you know, tubes that are probably in their garage right now, let alone you could go buy at any hardware store. But it was important political theater because it spread the idea that laws can't stop things. That's the real point there. And his dark wallet thing takes it even further, but it's not done yet. But Free Speech Me is here today. And what Free Speech Me does is keeps governments from being able to, I'm not going to say it, you could not take down one of these websites, but they cannot take them down by sending an email or a fax like they can with a .com, .bit, .org, .me, .uk, .whatever, everything else, man. So the future's here now. We're building it. It's going to be running the internet in 2 years. And here's the thing. I want to read this little bit. It's a tweet. I'm going to actually read this with Mike. I don't know if Ben has tweets. Does he have the thing here? Does he have the thing? I don't know if he has the thing. I might have deleted the thing. But basically, the idea is somebody on the Bitcoin forum was posting, people were praising it. And they have to realize this is not a threat to Bitcoin. This actually accentuates Bitcoin. And the thing is, it's going to change the world. It's how the internet's going to be run. And people have said that the development of this plugin is an excellent development. Someone said this on the Bitcoin forum. And he said, however, I must say that the demand for the Namecoin project is largely based, to a large degree, driven by the MPAA getting some variant of SOPA through the U.S. Congress. If the MPAA fails, as they did in 2012, then interest in the Namecoin project will drop. I disagree strongly. Mike makes right. Read what I just pigeoned you of my arguments against that well-meaning but wrong belief.
Number one, governments will never drop attempts to censor, no matter what acronym is snuck through the back door. SOPA already failed, so the U.S. is going to the U.N. for this stuff.
Yep.
And even without SOPA, the DOJ, the DOC, the FBI, ICE, etc., seizing domains all day, every day, in all nations through international treaties, and look what happened in Turkey last week. .bit would have prevented that. Number two, even if we have achieved worldwide libertarian.
Even if we ever achieved worldwide libpair.
Yeah, libertarian paradise tomorrow. .bit is far more secure against HTTPS and DNS hijacking, which could still be done by individuals in the absence of government, than centrally controlled domains, .com and the rest. .bit has advantages that go far beyond preventing censorship. It's what the web should have been built on from the start, but Satoshi Appamato, the Namecoin team, Jeremy Ram were just little kids then. I'm assuming about Satoshi, but the rest were. If Obama really wanted to protect the internet, which is how they pass all the tyranny, he'd encourage everyone to switch to .bit. The government will never do that and will quietly do quite the opposite.
Yeah, I can hear myself now. Cat walked on my mixer. Darn those little kitty cats. Literally a cat little took his little foot pad and pushed this little button.
It's an NSA cat.
It's an NSA cat. Yeah. And I'm not going to take it apart like in some old sci-fi movie. What's the one that Scanner Darkly, where everyone's on weird government drugs and they think that there's – this is from the 70s. They wrote it. And they think that the cat has microchips and microphones in it, and they take it apart because they're on government drugs. And the movie version of that has Alex Jones on the street corner with a bullhorn saying, like, wake up, people. The government is spying on you. It's like this is written in the 70s. That's kind of a character. And they had Alex Jones play it. And, you know, a van pulls up and drags Alex Jones or him, his character in the movie, into the van and secrets him away. And as they're doing it, he's screaming, come on, guys, I used to work for you. I used to be like you. And then I wised up. Come work for me. And they're like gagging him and tasing him and throwing him in a van. Yeah, that'll happen. That's happening already, man. And it's going to happen to Alex Jones, and it's going to happen to me. And before that, though, they'll just steal our domain. And so people like that should get the Free Speech Me plugin and start using a .bit alternative and spreading it. So you asked about that really politely and nicely, and I like that. But I'm getting a few comments here and there of like, you guys are idiots. You're only doing it for Firefox. You're stupid, man. And I'm cleaning it up for radio. Man, that's for little girls and grandmas. You should do it for Chrome. First of all, Chrome is an NSA virus, in my opinion. Yep. Second of all, that's like, I hate it when people come up, like work their butt off for free to make something cool, give it away to the world. And somebody somewhere's first comment, there should be like a rule for this. We can call this Michael's rule. It's Dean's rule. It's the rule that no matter how hard you work on something, somebody's first comment is going to be like, idiot, you did it wrong. I wouldn't have done it that way if I knew how to be a programmer, which is basically like, if you were a charitable person and spent all your free time and money building houses for the poor or building houses for anybody to come live in free, beautiful houses, you painted your house red, somebody is going to come along and say, you ass, you should, I don't like red houses, make blue houses. Yeah, I said that on the air. That's not really a cuss though. And I say it about once a year. And it's an animal. It's a stupid animal. The donkey.
There's always going to be haters too. Yeah. It's just you can never please everybody. And you know, let's be honest here. Firefox is probably the best browser out there for us freedom lovers.
It is. Yeah, so some statist is going to come on and say, "You dumb, I don't like red houses. Build me a blue house now." And they type it in all caps and you know, that's the world. That's the world we live in.
It could also be just people who want to see it succeed and want to see it everywhere, though. So let's be fair.
No, the comment that I was replying to, that you were reading my reply to, let's read what exactly that guy said. He said, SMH, which means shaking my head. Shaking my head, why? Firefox, that's the equivalent of using a Mac instead of a Linux or PC. And then he didn't put a smiley face. He put a face with its tongue sticking out, which is like flipping the bird to someone on the internet. So, and you know, I wrote back that long reply. I didn't read the last line of that. Why don't you read my last line there real quick, Mike?
I think we're going to break. We'll read it when we come back.
No, we'll do it right now. I said, I know I'm the new guy on this board, but I know about everything we're talking about, so I'll say it anyway, even though you're an old-timer. Have a little more faith or get out of the way.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and I love the Plume Room nicotine liquid for all my e-vaping pleasure.
And I'm DJ Dean, the fiend behind the scene. We exclusively use the Plume Room Artisan e-liquid. The Plume Room vape juice is made lovingly in America by the talented mad mixtress Andrea. It's not mass-produced or stored in stockpile. The Plume Room has 25 flavors, and almost a third of them are Spin Fuel Award winners.
Tell them the fiend sent you and use the discount code VAPE2014 to get 10% off. At theplumeroom.com. That's theplumeroom.com.
Yeah.
Worms.
Yep. Freedom Fiends. So, this is Michael Dean. This is the Freedom Fiends. Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza and support group for men, manly men who want to be able to cry about how the government has touched them and given them bad touch. And speaking of a man who's had a lot of bad touch from the government in his life, you know, I invited Mr. Ben Stone on here for his triumphant return, and then I just talked about my great project for the last half hour of that. So why I don't want to be talking about my project. Why doesn't Ben Stone talk about my project?
Well, I could. It's really a great project, and I'm, you know, I kind of followed at a distance, but as soon as you posted the software where I could, I immediately downloaded it, got a computer up and running with it, and just leaving it on so it just sits there and keeps updating itself continually.
You so you can see badquaker.bit, right?
Yeah, and it redirects back to my main website, just like it should, and Michael's the one that set that up for me, by the way, because I'm not that kind of computer geek.
Have you, you know, the thing is, like, what needs to drive this isn't just people adopting it, it's people making websites, or at least pointing a .bit version, you know, a .bit URL to your .com files, so if your .com is ever seized, you can get back up, you know, people be instantly able to see it on .bit. Or if they seize your files and your domain name, you could just host somewhere else, and within a half hour, everyone in the world would be able to see it. It doesn't take like 2 or 3 days to update like a .com. It's almost instant. So
is that all it does is redirects?
It's a little too technical to explain really quickly, but we have a website, and I want to have Ben talk a little bit more because I'd have to answer that one. But basically, all a domain registrar or system of DNS does is takes human readable numbers, you know, human readable words, badquaker.com, and points them to an IP address, which is a machine readable address of where computers can go find those files in that website. So, yeah, it's not really a redirect. No, it's not just redirecting it, because if the .com were gone, there'd be no .com to redirect it to, but those files are still on a server at an IP address, and the .bit address would be able to reach them with the Free Speech Me plugin.
And the .bit is not centralized in the sense that because it's on the blockchain, it's spread out over thousands or perhaps hundreds of thousands of computers, so you can't. So it's like instead of if you're taking down a normal website, you're literally. Well, not literally, but you're figuratively firing an arrow at a target, and you take that target out. But when something is out on the blockchain, you can't fire your arrow at a target because there's 100,000 or 100 million targets out there all with the same image.
Yeah, I know Ben likes, you know, poetic stuff, but I don't even use analogies when I explain this. I'm not saying it's bad to, but you don't need one. It's basically when the government wants to shut down your .com from working, they have to go to one source, ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, who controls that. You know, you register with somebody else, but they're controlled by ICANN. They have to basically remove that listing or redirect it to a government takedown page on one computer, one government-controlled computer. There used to be another way to surf .bit. It was kind of a complicated way, but it involved, there were two ways before. One was going through DNS set, different DNS servers. That's not secure. It's really insecure. And there were only like five alternate servers. So basically there were five computers to take down then. There was also a hack that some hackers made, which was basically if you typed .bit, you know, the .bit address with another extension at the end of it, it would go through somebody else and you'd be able to view most of the sites that way. But that is going through one computer, which could be taken down, and it's not secure, and it's really not secure even though they're good people, because they put on their website all traffic is logged to prevent abuse, which is I think them saying we're watching you, government, but they're watching everybody. So Ben, will you take us out here, brother man?
Hey, it's been great to be on the
it's
been great to be on the Freedom Fiends radio show with Michael W. Dean and with Chandler and with Mike Makes Right. And we're on every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, rebroadcast on some channels.
Yep, and we're coming out with a new show, Michael Dean After Dark, Monday through Friday night. So tell your radio station you want that. Take it, DJ.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.